before I start today, I want you to know that I'm not picking on anybody, don't have anybody in mind. You know, when I start out that way, it's going to be interesting. So, yeah, all right. Well, you know, whenever I have a funeral, I know there's going to be one of four things take place. I know that the people know the Lord, and the person that died knows the Lord, and it's going to be kind of a celebration. And incidentally, if I go to be with the Lord before the Lord comes, I want that music we had this morning at my funeral. Wasn't that something? Amen. And then there's a second category of people that they're going to look for every possible thing they can find in somebody's life because they didn't go to church and they didn't really say much about God, and they're going to try to think of some time back 30 years ago they mentioned God's name or something so they can have some kind of comfort that maybe by chance this person's going to heaven. And then there's another category where they know absolutely the person didn't go to heaven and they're going to mourn for the rest of their life over that soul that died and went to hell. And then the fourth category is the people that don't care. And whether they know the person went to hell or not, after the funeral, they're going to go to the bar and celebrate. That's the fourth category. So my question is, what category are you and I in? What category is our family in? What category is our friends? What category are they in? What's it going to be like at their funeral? How can we know anybody's saved? How do we know that? Is it our right to inspect? Well, the Bible says we're to be fruit inspectors. We're to inspect their life. And if we know the plan of God, we know the plan of God is that a person sometime in their lifetime would come to Jesus Christ, repent of their sin, receive Christ as their Savior, get into a good church, get into the Bible, and listen to God for his plan for their life. And when their life is over, they're going to be with Jesus and he's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's the plan of God for every single person. Now, does everybody reach that goal? Absolutely not. How do you know? And if you're going to talk about repentance, what is repentance? We're going to talk about that this morning because I think it's extremely important. Let's look at some scriptures. Let's look in Matthew 3 and verse 1. We're going to look at some scriptures quickly. I hope you have your Bible and pray God's, just pray, "God, teach me something this morning." That's the issue. We're not here to waste anybody's time. We're here to give you some information that's going to help you in your life. Okay, chapter 3 of Matthew, verse 1. "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he that spoke by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" So, John the Baptist said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And the prophecy in the Old Testament was that John the Baptist would come and he would make a way for the people to come to the Lord. And John the Baptist said the way to come to the Lord is repentance. So what is it? If you want to know how to come to the Lord, have you repented? That's the issue. I want you to look in Luke 13 and verse 3. Luke 13 and verse 3. If you got your Bibles open, say amen. Amen. Luke 13 and verse 3. And it says, "I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." It says, unless you repent, you will perish. That means you will be in eternal hell separated from God forever. Verse 5, "I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." So the Bible's very strong on this issue. Now look in Matthew 18 and verse 3. Matthew 18 and verse 3. And we're going to see what God has to say about life. That's the whole issue. It's Matthew 18 and verse 3. And verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become like a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So humbling ourselves has something to do with this whole issue. It has something to do with repentance. We can't do anything about anybody that's already died, but we certainly can pray for the living. Amen? We can pray for those in our family that we would sense that are not in Christ. And so now I want you to look at another scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. I'm talking about repentance. How do you get into repentance to come to Christ? This is the reason that many people think they're saved and they're not. They're religious, but they're not Christians because they haven't repented. So we're talking about that this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. For godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So it says here, sorrow, it's good to be sorrowful over your sin. It's good to be sorrowful over your life if it's not pleasing to God. Being sorrowful for your sins is not salvation, but it leads to repentance, which leads to salvation. So what is repentance according to the Bible? Here's what it is. It's changing your way of thinking and therefore changing your nature. Changing your way of thinking and changing your nature, it means to think differently. It means to reverse your former way of thinking. It means a new system of thought that leads to new decisions about Jesus Christ. Now, that's the issue. What is this whole issue about anyway? What is life all about? I'm going to tell you what it's all about. It's who's the boss. Who's the boss? Either God's the boss or you're the boss. Now, that's the issue in the whole thing. The only way you're going to go to heaven is God be the boss. Do I hear an amen? Amen? God be the boss. That's the only way you're going to go to heaven. If you're the boss, you're not going to get any higher than you can jump. You see, that's the issue. So I'm not here to waste words. I'm not here to waste your time. I'm here to tell you the truth. Now, a lot of people are in what I call false repentance. False repentance. They think they've repented. They prayed way back somewhere. There's no evidence that they're Christians. And so they're going to hang on to that the rest of their life. Well, I wouldn't want to. You see? You all know people who have come to the altar. They got emotional. They cried. They said a prayer. And they never set foot in church again. Or they set foot in church for a while, and then you never see them again. They were humble, they seemed to be, they were emotional, but there was no change in their life. And I'm here to tell you, if there's no change in a person's life, they're not saved. Can I make that clear? Okay, I'm going to tell you something. My dad got saved when he was 65. And I had the privilege of leading him to the Lord. He was a good man. He took care of his family. He led a good life. He loved outdoors. He loved hunting, fishing, and all that stuff. And he'd go to church every once in a while when it was raining. You understand? And so the issue was, I talked to him about Jesus. I led him to the Lord. And I thought to myself, I'm just going to see what happens here. And you know, he never missed a Sunday morning after that. And I'm going to tell you something else. He read through the Bible 3 or 4 times before he died. He never picked up a Bible before that point. something changed in his life. There was a change. His thinking was changed. His thinking about God was changed. His thinking about life was changed. His thinking about what was important was changed. There was a change in his life. So I have confidence that he's with Jesus today, because there was a change. My mother went to church all of her life. She took us to church every time the door opened. She taught Sunday school for 40 years and did not know Jesus Christ. And one day she went to a meeting in a church where they talked about you had to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's the first time she ever heard that in her life. She did, and she was saved at that point. And so later I talked to her and I said, "You've been in church all your life. What changed?" Now listen to me. She said, "I fell in love with the Word of God." Before, she didn't care about the Word. She was doing all the stuff. She didn't have particular interest in the Word of God, other than she taught kids and she had them memorize Scripture and all that stuff. But she wasn't interested in the Bible till she got saved after years in the church. I know another lady who said, and she was 95 years when she gave her testimony, and she said, "My husband and I went to church for years. We never missed a Sunday morning. People would get up and give testimonies. I can never get up and give one. And after my husband died, he was my God. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and I got saved." I said, "What was the difference?" She said, "After that, I had a testimony about Jesus Christ." You see? So going to church doesn't get you saved. Joining a Sunday school class doesn't get you saved. Coming down and crying in front of the church doesn't get you saved. What begins the process of being saved is called repentance, and that is, "God, I've been the boss all this time and messed it up. Now I want you to take over." Are you listening to me? I'm talking about true repentance, coming to heaven repentance, staying out of hell repentance is what I'm talking about here. Some people, they say they know the Lord, but they never change. Some people say they know the Lord on Sunday, don't talk to him about the week. During the week, there's no change in their life. And I would hesitate to think they know the Lord. What I say for people like that is pray they get saved. Yeah, I'm not being smart. I'm not being a wise guy. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I want you to know the truth. Aren't you glad you came today? Now, listen, they fall on, it's wrong thinking. You have to change your mind. God created the world. God's going to be here at the end of the world. God put me in the world. God had a plan for my life. Am I living it? Who's the boss? I'll guarantee you, God created hell for the devil and his angels. He didn't create it for you. But if God's not the boss in your life, guess where you'll end up? You see. Man, I get a good new tie, I just go nuts up here. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. But anyway, there's a time to be sorry for your sin. There's a time for all of that stuff. But I'm going to tell you, what I find about people that don't know Christ, that really don't give their life to Christ, they're mad at everybody. They're mad at the world. They blame everybody else for their problems. And they're just stuck in that mode. And they'll die in that mode unless they come to Jesus. Now, some people come down and pray in church and they sorrow and there's tears and they do all that stuff, and then the church people just say, "Oh, hallelujah, they're saved," and they just love them and all this stuff. The person didn't get saved. Most of the time they sorry they got caught. you see. And the Bible says godly sorrow leads to repentance. It doesn't say that's what it is. If you don't change the way you think, you're not going to change your life. God made us that way. That's just the way it is. You know, sometimes we just hug people and say they're saved and all this kind of stuff. You know, somebody always says, I remember when Uncle Sam went down forward in the service and 20 years ago, and he prayed, and everybody just celebrated the fact he was saved. Hadn't been in church since. Never opens the Bible, never talks about Jesus. I would say he's whatever he talks about. That's what the Bible says. We are what we talk about. Whatever comes out of our mouth, that's what we are. People, sometimes people, instead of getting saved, they get religious. And they count how many days they went to church and how much money they gave to the church and how much they did all this stuff, and they're adding it all up. That's not what God's adding. God's adding up where is their heart? Where is their very heart? Where's the center of their being? And, you know, some people even feel good about the whole thing, but so what? Feeling good doesn't save you. And then some people, they're in church for a while, and then their old friends seem to show more love than the church, so they go back to the old crowd and to the old way of life and just fade off into the sunset, never coming to the Christ of Calvary. If they do come to church, they have a real conflict because they hear the word of God and they either get mad or glad or something, and there's a conflict inside and they don't know what to do with it, and the enemy offers them some alternative, and usually what they do, I'm just not good enough to come to God. I've sinned too much. God wouldn't accept me. Well, God's accepted so far murderers, thieves, adulterers, and so forth. So I don't know what category you're in, but God can accept somebody on the very bottom if they'll decide who the boss is in their life. Not just on Sunday. Or they get mad at the church and say, that church down there just has a problem and they just don't understand me, and I just don't, they're not loving down at that church. You ever hear this kind of stuff? And they'll get some people around them that agree with them, and they have just a little party there talking about and criticizing and doing all of that stuff. Or the enemy will just give you an alternative, and you get into some kind of situations where you're coming to addiction and you just don't have the strength to get out of it. The problem is they never really repented. They never really repented. You have to come to a place where you really believe, you know, I don't know Christ. I'm lost. And if I don't receive Christ as my Savior, I'm done for eternity. It's all over. Are they saved? Only God knows. I have no idea. I believe there is such a thing as somebody received Christ back so-and-so and for whatever reason didn't follow through, never got in the right church, never heard the right teaching. It's possible, but I'd hate to rely on that. I'd hate to stake my life on it. I heard a teaching one time that said Judas was saved. Well, that's interesting. Let's look into that situation. Was Judah saved? Could have God saved him? Yes. Could have God saved him after he betrayed him? The answer is yes. Why didn't he? He was one of the 12, chosen by God. He was the treasurer of the group, even though a thief. He did sell the Messiah for 30 pieces of silver. No question about it. That's why silver is blood money. It's very interesting. Let's look at this thing in the scriptures real quick. John chapter 13, 2. Just going to show you some things. I'm going to tell you why, what I believe about Judas. I'm going to tell you right quick. And it's the same way about you and I. Go to John 13 and verse 2. John 13 and verse 2. Now I want you to know, Judas had been with Jesus for about 3.5 years now. He'd sat with him and ate with him. He'd gone out on missionary trips with him. He had even prayed for people with him. He'd done all these things. And now in John 13, verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray the Lord. Look at 13:8. Peter said to him, to Jesus, "You'll never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "If I don't wash you, you will have no part with me." Then Peter said, "Well, wash my whole head and feet." And he that washed needs not except to be washed his feet, but is entirely clean. You are clean, but not all of you. Jesus was talking to Peter, and Peter said, "I don't want you to wash my feet, Lord. I'm not worthy of it." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, you're not going to have fellowship with me." He wasn't talking about salvation. He was talking about daily washing. And finally he says, "You're clean, Peter, but all of you are not." And he's talking about one person. "For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, 'You are not all clean.'" Interesting enough. Look in John 17, 12. John chapter 17 and verse 12. I just want you to see this story. It's really quite interesting. Jesus knew the heart of Judas. And here it is. This is Jesus speaking. "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in my name. Those that you gave me, I have kept. None of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." So if it's possible to be with Jesus and minister with him and be lost, it's certainly possible to be in church and be lost. It's certainly possible to have prayed a prayer sometime and be lost. But Jesus called him here the son of perdition. What does that mean? It means somebody whose life is ruined, lost, or destroyed. That's what son of perdition means. Somebody's life that's ruined, lost, or destroyed. Now let's go to Matthew 27 and verse 1. Matthew 27 and verse 1. We need to look at this, and I'm going to explain about Judas here in just a second. Matthew 27 and verse 1. "And when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, who had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned," I want you to look at this, "repented and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I've sinned in that I've betrayed innocent blood.' And they said, 'What's that to us?' He cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, departed, went out, and hanged himself." Now, how do I know that Judas was lost? Very simply because of this. He repented, but he only repented to the fact that he felt sorry for his sin and sorry what he had done and sorry he had been caught, because the disciples knew he did it. Jesus knew he did it. Everybody that knew him knew he did it. He had been caught. And if somebody truly repents, they're going to, I don't care what they've done, they're going to come running to Jesus Christ. And he ran the other way and destroyed his life by hanging himself. In other words, he died, lost, and will be in eternal hell forever. Not because he betrayed Jesus, but because he didn't have a true repentance, didn't receive Jesus Christ as his Savior, and didn't run to Jesus for forgiveness. Are you listening to me? So I believe that if a person truly repents, they're going to run to Jesus Christ. They're going to ask for forgiveness. They're going to receive his forgiveness. They're going to receive him as their Savior. They're going to say, "You're the boss for the rest of my life. Let's do this together," and they will be in heaven with him. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
That's the difference. If somebody made a profession of faith back so-and-so and never comes to Christ and never responds to Jesus, I would say, pray that they get saved. Okay? Pray that they get saved. All right. Now, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I'm just telling you the truth. We need to honestly know how to pray for people. Pray that they get saved, or pray that they come back to God, or pray whatever. But we need to know how to pray for people. What is true repentance? I've talked about false repentance. What's true repentance? Changing the way that you think. It's like what your bulletin says. Repent, rebuke, replace. Repent of what you're doing. Rebuke the enemy out of your life and replace it with things of God. That's the only way you know that somebody is saved. That for sure. I'm not saying that somebody that you knew or was close to you that made a profession of faith, maybe as a child, they may have been saved. I have no idea. I am not God. I can only go by what the Bible says. If you repent, you repent running to Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? All right. Now, let's look in 1 John 3:9, and this is a verse that drives Christians crazy. 1 John are lost people for sure. 1 John 3:9. Now look at this. If you're still out there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. He that says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. Isn't that interesting? I'm in the wrong one. Excuse me, I'm in the wrong chapter. That's a good verse, but it's the wrong one. 1 John 3:9, excuse me. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Well, now you know I'm not perfect. I never did. Okay. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Boy, that makes Christians nervous. That makes them nervous. They say, whoa! Whoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Whoa, that's a verse, isn't it? What's that mean? Well, the Amplified Bible says, no one born or begotten of God deliberately, knowingly, habitually practices sin. That sound a little better? It said, no one born, begotten of God deliberately, knowingly, habitually practices sin. What is sin? Sin is the rejection of God's rightful authority over one's life. Sin is rejecting God's authority to direct your life. Sin is rejecting God's authority to guide your life. once again it comes back, who's the boss? You know, in the Garden of Eden, there was Adam and Eve and Jesus. And there were two trees. Two trees. God makes it so simple, even I can understand it. He put two trees. That means there's two ways. The tree of life meant God's the boss. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil meant you're the boss. Not complicated. If God's the boss, we get into the manual, find out what he wants. If we're the boss, we grab as much gusto we can, get as much of the world we can before we die, because when we do, it's all over. The only way that Adam and Eve sinned was Satan deceived him into believing, not Adam but Eve, into believing God was holding something back. If they ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they'd be like God. And there's a lot of people running around think they're God. In fact, they even advertise that in the newspapers. And they got people following them all over the place because they say they're God. So it's either God is God or you are God. Which is it? That's the issue that's going to come up when you die, when you stand before Jesus. Who was your God on the earth? You are Jesus. That just simplifies so many things. And there's so many things you can throw out of your life because it has nothing to do with God whatsoever. It's a legal right to exercise power over another person. How many people you ever say, God's not going to tell me what to do? Well, he won't tell you what to do in hell either. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. I had that when I grew up, and I'm no longer even nobody going to tell me what to do. Well, you know how to pray for that person now, that the Holy Spirit draws them to Jesus Christ. It's gotten kind of quiet in here. Is there any particular reason? No. Oh, okay. I just wanted to check. It says, if you know God, you're not going to be able to sin without feeling guilty about it and coming to Jesus and ask forgiveness, and he'll cleanse you. That's what it says. You're not going to habitually do that. You're going to change your thinking. The world's thinking is we're going to have a one world government, we're going to have a one world God, and I'm telling you, it's not Jesus. And that's what the whole thing's coming to right now. We got people in higher echelons of the world, and they're trying to bring a one world government so they can put a man as God instead of Jesus. Anything instead of Jesus. And some people live that way. Anything instead of Jesus. Because they feel guilty. They feel like they're not worthy. They feel all these things. And none of it has to do with anything. Jesus said, if you come as a little child and repent before me and receive me as Savior, I'll give you a new life. I'll give you a new life. I'll give you a new way of thinking. I'll give you a new way to do these things, you see. And that's it. Now, so what is sin all about? It's an authority issue. Who's in charge? So God created us, and he has a right to tell us what to do, to tell us how to live, because he is Lord. He has the right to do that. Sin is a rejection of that right, and you take over that thing. And so... How do we know that's what it is? Because Lucifer in heaven rejected God's right to be God over him. And therefore, God created hell. He had to have some place to put people that didn't care about him. I'd say that's pretty good of God to do that. Because they wouldn't be happy in heaven Because guess who's in charge? It's God. You see. Now, I'm almost over. Now, a person who has truly repented is going to choose to come to God and say, I want you to direct my life. The rest of my life, I want to dedicate it to you. I'm going to be with you in heaven, so I want to prepare now. And I want God to tell me what to do. You might fall, but you'll get back up again. Confess it to God and then say, God, I want you to tell me what to do. We don't just sit around and wait for God to tell us something. We get in the Word of God. We get aggressive about this thing. We take the things of God. We go after them. We don't. If you're waiting for something to fall on you, something will. You go out and get it. You take the things of God. You take charge of your life by giving it to God. No one is ever going to grow. No Christian will ever grow without the Word of God. So if you don't know it, we teach it 3 times a week. We go through the Bible on Wednesday night. We're teaching the Bible on Sunday night. We're teaching as much as I possibly can. I'd teach it more if we had a chance. We're teaching it on the radio. You can't grow without God in the things of God, without the Word of God. Now, you see, you have to learn the Bible. You have to learn the Bible. You have to learn what the Bible says. You have to get the mind of God within you, and you will start being like He is on this earth. That's what we're to be. The question today is very simply this. Are you a Christian? Are you born again? Have you truly repented in that you say, God, I give you my life. It's yours. Do with it what you want. That's what it comes to. Somebody says, well, what if I don't like what God wants me to do? Is there anything God wants you to do bad?
No.
I don't think so. You know, somebody... oh, my. Are you born again? Do you know Jesus? What's your funeral going to be like? My mother died. I knew she was a couple of years ago, and I knew she was a Christian. Everybody in the place knew she was a Christian because she loved people for one thing. I said she loved people for one thing. How can you tell somebody's a Christian? The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, self-control. That's how you know the fruit of the Spirit is coming out in you. When you come to church, do you just come in and sit down, don't pay attention to anybody? Or do you make sure you talk to everybody? I won't ask for a show of hands. I'm talking about what a Christian's like. If you're not one, say, God, go to hell. And guess who's going? It won't be God. This is the hour. This is the day. This is the time. Never know how much time you have. Billy Clark's grandson riding a bicycle down Sandy Hollow Road. Car hit him. He went into eternity. 21 years old. Sad thing. Let's stand before the Lord. Musicians.